It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The Athletic is reporting that Jerry Reinsdorf is open to selling the Chicago White Sox.
Gotta sell high.
And to that, I would say to White Sox fans, don't get too excited too fast. Open to selling doesn't really butter the bread. That doesn't put Triscuit crackers in your stomach. I remember that story in the Washington Post about 4 years ago with the Lerners.
Are they still open? Are they not open?
Still kind of owning this team. The DMV football team, though, is a very bright future. We're excited about the start of the football season. We do know, though, that folks around us have lost a friend or family member. The exclusive sponsor of our show, the law firm Condori and Murad, can guide you through the difficult probate admin process. They'll help bring clarity and closure to a loved one's estate if need be. Schedule a free consultation with their probate and estate planning attorneys. Visit kmlawyers.com. Be sure to tell them Grant and Danny sent you. That's kmlawyers.com. It is time to blitz the East. We begin with the Cowboys, who are bad, but that is not what we want to talk about. We want to say hi to our friend RJ Choppy, who does what we do down in Dallas in the morning on 105.3 The Fan. You heard a lot of audio from his show on this show the last couple of days. It's not normal because RJ was one of the gentlemen interviewing Jerry Jones on the morning show yesterday. And I guess we should start with, you still have a job, right, RJ? Jerry hasn't fired you yet, even though he's not your boss?
That's right. We still have a job. We're still here.
There you go.
Yeah, buddy. Key card still works.
It does. We tried that this morning. We were wondering when we walked in the building if the gate to the garage was going to open, the door was going to open, the elevator. You know, we got more security than the Pentagon.
Am I missing something? Jerry does not own Odyssey, and I didn't get that memo, or own any part of the radio station, correct? Does he just not know what a flagship radio station actually means?
Yeah, that was he does not own, as far as I know. He owns a lot of things. I don't know that, as far as I know, he does not have any hand in this. But it was strange because he's never treated us like that. He's never had that kind of confrontation with us. We've always been cool with him, and like we don't generally get confrontational with him or any of our guests. That's just not who we are. But I didn't even think we did really anything that was that wrong. I think Sean asked the right questions, and I don't think that there was an issue with what was said. I think this was more him just trying to make a point, and it got a little sideways.
Well, Arjun, not that you need my validation, but you didn't do anything wrong. In fact, it was absurd what he did. And someone was like, hey, how are you? And another thing. And they started yelling at you. And it's like, hey, man, I just asked how you are. These are very reasonable questions that everybody has. And he did the thing where if someone's like, hey, Danny, you're fat. And I'm like, no, I'm not mad that he said that I'm fat. I'm mad at the way that he said it. No, you're mad. I'm mad because you said I was fat. Like, that's all this is. And then he went into cry bully mode and everything else. So where do you go from here? Like, what's going to happen next?
Great question. We have him every Tuesday. They have a bye week this week, so I don't think we're going to have him on Tuesday of next week. But I assume that, you know, when it's the Tuesday the following week, I assume he'll come on with us, and I assume it'll be business as usual. But we haven't heard from him. We have not heard from the Cowboys. You know, so I don't know that anything is going to change. If he wants to, I'm sure he's able to move time slots if he doesn't want to do a show with us anymore. But, again, we haven't heard anything like that.
I think that is what he meant, by the way. So he did say the part, like, I'll get somebody else to do it. I don't think he was actually suggesting with that, like, I am going to get rid of you guys. I thought he meant, I'll just do this with somebody else. I don't have to come on your show and help you little radio guys out. Like, I think that's what he was saying.
I totally agree. I totally agree. I think that's actually what it was. Which, I mean, if he wants to do that, that's we have two other shows that are, you know, between, you know, a midday show and an afternoon show. So we've got other shows that would gladly have him on. So if that's what he really wants to do, I'm sure that they would acquiesce to that. But again, I don't know that that's what he
wants. Have you guys in the past ever gone hard in the paint against him? Or, I mean, has it been even like combative? I mean, those questions were open-ended, kind of warm. Hey, it's not very good. What's going on? Has there even been segments in the past where it didn't blow up, where you guys kind of, you know, were aggressive in grilling him a little bit, or no?
Yeah, oh yeah, we've gone, and that's what was like so surprising, because we've gone harder at him. We've asked him more pointed questions about his role, the job he's done, the team during the Colin Kaepernick situation. We went and we talked to him about that. We've asked him uncomfortable questions about things that have popped up with him and his life that have come out. So we've asked boatloads of uncomfortable questions and never got anything remotely close to this. And that's what threw us. I mean, we were really kind of really caught off guard here.
So RJ, do you ever, sometimes people will pull this lever, I think when they're desperate, like there's this word like, or this phrase, like the media, as if we're all like this big secret cabal that just sort of sits down and we're not like free thinkers at all. We just sort of decide this is what we're doing. And this is like him cutting a wrestling promo against the media. Like it's their fault that they didn't do anything in the offseason. You know what I'm saying? Like, do you think that's what this was? Like he's just almost using you guys as a conduit to try to pander to some base that then says mean comments about you guys on YouTube or something?
Yeah, I think, you know, like sometimes owners or GMs, I shouldn't say owners because owners don't really do radio other than him, but GMs, coaches, they'll just go out there and then they know what the fans want to hear, right? The fans want to hear that they're upset, that they're just as upset as the fans are. And they just use whoever they have in front of them at that point to be the mouthpiece to, or the platform in this case, to get that point across. And I think that's what this was. Like I don't, because we really didn't do anything wrong. I think what it was he was literally just trying to do that and give, send that message to the fans. And it came off horribly wrong. And I can't imagine that people over at the Cowboys or with him were not like, oh my God, what's going on here? But again, we haven't heard anything.
So funny. RJ Choppy, part of the morning broadcast that Jerry Jones joins. We should ask you one Cowboys question before we let you go. So I guess Let's do that very quickly. What a shebingus that game was against the Lions.
Tire fire, dude.
Was it as embarrassing as it seemed from afar? They're just throwing the linemen and lining guards up at wide receiver. Like, that was borderline disrespectful.
A little insulting.
Oh, that was disrespectful. I think that's part of this, too. That was also part of what was going on here, because that is an organization that historically never had an opportunity to disrespect anyone. And the Lions basically took out 50 years of frustration on Jerry Jones and the Dallas Cowboys. Like, that's what they did. They had targeted this game. They had circled it on the schedule. And they were pulling out every single trick play that they possibly could have. Oh, we're up 30? Oh, that's a perfect opportunity. Most teams would say, that's a great opportunity to get our starters out. The Lions say, that's a great opportunity to get our left tackle a hook and ladder. That's what this was, right? And they took out 50 years of frustration, not on the NFL, but on the Cowboys on Sunday. That was – it was disrespectful. There's no question about it. You can't stop it. What are you going to do? They're better. They're just better than the Cowboys are.
RJ, thank you, buddy. Really appreciate it, man. And good luck navigating these stormy-ass waters that Jerry Jones stirred up, man.
Thanks, guys.
Appreciate you, dude. Hit that Eagle sounder, Darius. Chris Franklin, NJ.com, to talk about the Eagles. Chris, can you think of any coaches who, during a win, turned around and yelled at fans this past week?
You know, I looked around the league. I don't think there were any, except for one. It might be in Philadelphia.
It's right there.
I'm trying to think who it was. I think it was Trey Wingo on yesterday. And he actually made me laugh out loud. He said something to the effect, he's like, Nick Sirianni is just a clown. It was a strong take, and I think that's probably aggressive. But he does act like a child.
Like, that was a little buffoonish, right?
He was yelling at Chiefs fans after a regular season win, like everything was okay then, you know, like the same as the Super Bowl. I mean, why does he act like he's 14?
If you ask him, he'll say it's about his passion, but it's one of those things where it's starting to become a distraction now to the point where the fact that he had to apologize quickly, to me, it showed like Jeffrey Lurie, Howie Roseman, they sat down and said, listen, this is your last chance. And kind of to help, especially when you only win by four against the Cleveland Browns and you do something like that, yeah, not the best way to
do it. But that was my favorite part. Yeah. It's one thing to do the Conor McGregor walk and, you know, to walk around with your chest out if you just blew the doors off of Detroit by 35 or something. With a bye week against Deshaun Watson, who can't move the ball against you, me, Danny, and eight of our friends, they survive to get a 4-point win at home. I mean, that was just look at the ground, tuck your tail between your legs, hope no one asks any questions, and try again next week win. And he's out there screaming at people like they're headed to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and if you ask him, he's saying the players are told him to do that. But I think, and Jalen Hurts, I think, backed him up a little bit more just to not leave his coach out on the line to do that. But yeah, you can't be doing stuff like this. Now it's to a point where, say, if you have an unsuccessful season, you finish 9-8, get kicked out of the wild card round, and Jeffrey Lurie has to make a decision to get rid of the coach, this is going to come back up again, and it may cost him his job eventually in the future.
All right, so what about actual on-field stuff? I kept kind of giving this group the benefit of the doubt here, Chris, thinking, okay, they survived without A.J. Brown, without Devontae Smith, without Lane Johnston, without, you know, some really key personnel. And I'm going, once they have this bye week, they get healthy, they're going to smack this Cleveland team. The schedule's pretty easy. We're going to look up, and they're going to be, you know, 6-2 or 7-3 or something like that. Now I'm not so sure. What do you make of this group right now?
Well, a lot of it has to do, I think, is in a way, offensively, I think Kellen Moore is not being able to do what he was brought in to do, especially when you look at the motions. That was the biggest thing that when he brought him in, they thought, okay, he's going to put A.J. Brown, Devontae Smith in a good position and utilize Saquon Barkley right. Well, that hasn't happened as much for it, and they also have hit also these very skilled starts. They still haven't scored in the first quarter all year, which they're the only teams to do that. But you put yourself behind the eight ball. The defense is not a top 10 unit. It's more towards the middle of the pack. When you got that combination going, you're going to find yourself chasing the eight ball and eventually midnight strikes. But luckily, they got the Giants and the Cincinnati Bengals coming up. But still, knowing this team and what they do with the Browns, they're not in guineas there.
Yeah, how confident do people in Philly feel about this game at the Giants this weekend?
Well, it's very tempered right now because you lost left tackle Jordan Mailata probably for a couple weeks. Tight end Dallas Goedert might be out for a couple weeks as well, too. But then you got to look at that Giants defense and go, oh, great, Brian Burns, who just wrecked the Bengals, you got to face him again. And then the Eagles are 1-3 in their last four trips to MetLife. That's combined with the Giants and the Jets, too. So the Giants always seem to play them well. If Saquon, they're probably fired up, especially those fans in New York, about Saquon Barkley returning. It's going to be one of those tough drag-out NFC East games that we're probably going to watch for the last 2 minutes, not knowing who's going to win.
Chris, thank you as always, buddy. Have a great week.
Thanks, you too.
See you, my friend. Hit that Giants sounder, Darius. One Chris to another. Chris Bisignano, the Giants insider, joins us to talk about the G-men. Andrew Thomas injury. Sounds like bad news for New York. What does it mean?
Oh, it's bad news. You know, you don't want to lose your top left tackle, one of the best in the game for the season. So, yeah, big blow to the Giants offensive line, which has played every snap. That'll be broken coming up Sunday. And they play really good football. And so that's a big blow to the Giants. But next man up, we'll see what happens.
I don't know what this eventually is going to mean for Shane or Dable or Daniel Jones or anybody else, but the Giants are the friskiest bad team in the league. I mean, they probably should have beat Washington. They beat the Browns. They could have, should have beat the Cowboys one possession game. They beat Seattle. They were right there with Cincy. The game was closer than the 17-7 score.
Yeah.
That doesn't help them. I know that they're still 2-4 in the standings, but it feels like they're better than maybe the other two-win teams around the league.
Yeah, well, fellas, the big surprise was Shane Bowen's defense. It's been really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, look what they did to the Bengals Sunday night. You know, that was coming into the game, like averaging like 35 a game, you know, last three games or something like that. And so, yeah, look, they're not scoring enough as usual, you know, but they're going to hang tough with you because they have impact players on defense. Brian Burns coming off a huge game. You got Dexter Lawrence, one of the best in the game. And so, look, Shane Bowen and the 12th-ranked defense has been a big surprise. And like you said, a play here and there, it could be 4-2, but that's not the way the NFL works. You have to make those plays. That's why they're 2-4. But it's a scrappy bunch. I give them that. They play hard for Dable. But they have to start scoring a little bit more at home. They got one touchdown, fellas, in 12 quarters at home.
That's tough. Chris.
That's tough to win.
What do you expect the reception to be for Saquon Barkley?
I think he's going to get booed.
Mm.
Yeah, I think he's going to get booed because he went to the Eagles. You know, and you can't go to the Eagles in this part of town and not get booed and all that. So, yeah, I expect him to not be received very warmly.
Will he get a nice, you were our guy, we love you kind of ovation at all? And then booing the rest of the day or nothing like that?
Just direct to boo?
I don't think he will. I don't think he will get that ovation. I think a lot of people are very, very pissed that he went over to Philadelphia.
So there's an acknowledgement probably that, hey, he didn't really choose to leave, although you can make the case he kind of did. But we all saw the show. Like, they didn't want to pay him a ton of money, right? Whatever. But the point is, it's kind of like Bryce Harper in D.C., my co-host and others. It doesn't really matter how we got here. When you choose to be in the division with the rival, now everyone hates your guts. It's kind of that deal?
Yeah, it's kind of that deal. And Saquon made he put a few things on Instagram and X, you know, after he left, and that wasn't received very well. But look, I know Saquon since he's a rookie here, since he was drafted. I'll always like him. He's a very, very good young man. But it is what it is, right? The fans. You go to the Eagles, you're going to be looked at as the enemy now.
What's the latest on Malik Nabers? Feels like he's been out for some time. Pretty serious, huh?
Yeah, but the good news is that he was out there on the field today running routes.
Good.
Practicing. So he had the red jersey on, obviously. So it looks like he's going to go through the protocol steps this week. He worked with some individuals on the field, and then, you know, and then he'll have to get cleared by the end of the week. But, yeah, look, it's like everything else with these concussions. Every brain is different. You don't know how they're going to heal, you know, and it took him two games. But, like I said, the good news is it looks like he is gearing towards playing Sunday.
Daniel Jones is playing pretty well, but it feels like we're past the point now this many years in where pretty well is – a win. Like, this many years in, you're kind of like, okay, well, clearly if they pick high enough, they got to get somebody else. That's my opinion on the outside, even though I think it's been very solid. Like, they lose receivers, it doesn't seem to matter. He's protecting the football for the most part. What's your take right now?
Well, your original take was correct. He's been pretty good, but the inconsistency is maddening. You look at the interception last week, it was inexcusable. They don't score at home. They don't get in the end zone enough. And look, that's the responsibility of the quarterback. So, listen, this is, you know, Daniel Winnow just came off a stretch. He played like four good games in a row. Last week, not so well. It is what it is with Daniel, but he's not going to be here next year. I can tell you that, fellas. They're going to be looking to move on.
Chris, thank you as always, buddy. Be well.
You got it. Bye-bye.
That's our guy, Chris Bisignano. Grant and Danny on the Fan. Wasn't the pick he had in that game, he got drilled as he threw it and went like a mile high into the air and was caught in the red zone? I'm just remembering top
trying
of my
to, I'm
head.
Trying to remember.
He got hit as he threw, like his arm got drilled, and the ball flew way up into the air when they were driving. I don't think that's inexcusable. That seems like it's fairly actually excusable. Like the opposite.
Then we can explain that one.
I should have asked him, but I mean, that was definitely the only pick he threw, and that was his fourth of the season, I think. But anyway, I just think with him, like, it is both irrefutable that he is playing pretty well, and they lost Nabers, and he kept kind of chopping wood with not a very good receiving core. But also, this many years in, the bar's got to be higher. Like, look at what we're doing here in Washington.
Yeah.
You pick a guy number two, and you're going, he might be special. And I'm not saying that they're going to get Jaden Daniels. It seems like maybe the Commanders kind of hit the lottery here, but other rookie quarterbacks, young quarterbacks, you're looking for a ceiling beyond 5 years, whatever this, 6 years, whatever, however deep we are into Daniel Jones.
It should be better than, have you noticed he's actually not playing too bad? We should be better than that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Who deserves credit for this amazing Commanders season that isn't getting it? I think there are four key ingredients, key players here, but who would join them if we wanted a party of five? That's next on The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
For the past three seasons of Gone South, we've covered one story per season. Now, Gone South is back for a fourth season. But this time, we're doing things a little differently. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
We are taking you up to 6:30 on The Fan. Welcome back to Grant and Danny. I am rocking, and you know this if you're watching on YouTube already. What's up, chat? I'm watching wearing the Capitals Screaming Eagle red throwback retro sweatshirt fit. I love this sweatshirt.
It's a comfy looking sweatshirt, too.
It is my one seed. In fact, I was so happy today. Because yesterday I didn't know it was cold. I don't do the thing where I check the weather all the time. So I threw on khaki shorts and a polo like I do every day for about 8 months running. Mm. And I got to work and it was
chilly,
nippy outside. Yeah. I was like, in fact, when we walked outside yesterday, for some reason my parking didn't work to get downstairs, even though I pay over $200 a month to park there. I was not annoyed in any way. So I went across the street.
Took it right in stride, yeah.
Paid to park there just for the day. So again, I was not even a little bit bothered
by that. Did it work itself out just naturally? It's all solved?
Financially, it worked out.
Did it?
When I spent money to do it. Anyway,
any hoodles.
I walked outside and I was in khaki shorts and a t-shirt. And it was really cold. And there was a stranger lady out there. You would never have done this. This lady was sitting there all bundled up. And I said, it's chilly out here.
Oh my God.
Just like that. And she looked at me. She's like, it's cold. I said, we must, one of these just old guys like, hey, neighbor bits. What did we just skip fall and go right to winter?
No.
Oh, I did that. Oh, yeah.
No.
I did.
Why?
I said, we just hopped summer to winter. She gave me the old courtesy chuckle. I had to do everything I did to stop myself from like hand on hip going, well, then, see you later.
Are these burgers done? Give them a turn. Oh, my God.
But you would have been.
Why?
So rich.
Why did you do that?
She was chilling there. I was freezing. So I was like, I got to walk across the street. It's cold out here, you know? And she's like, yeah, it's chilly.
Yes, it is.
Man, what happened to fall? We must have just missed that one.
I guess we skipped it, huh? Two summers and one winter. To go, please. For this region. Mid-Atlantic, am I right?
Okay. But anyway, because of that experience, great one. This morning, when I was getting dressed, I said, I'm going to wear a hoodie.
Little Jeeps bundle up day.
So there's a chance you're not going to see a shirt under, like what I'm wearing under this for about a month. This hoodie might not come off. I mean, it's cap season. I'm going to my first game tomorrow night.
Where are you sitting?
Fired up about that.
Where are you going to sit?
I don't know yet.
Oh.
We got time. We'll figure it out.
Is there any like translucent object right in front of you?
I don't know yet. I'm not sure where I'll be for the hockey match.
Uh-huh. Microphone blank.
Microphone stand?
No. Chris Russo said it. The Mad Dog said microphone what?
Microphone glass.
Yeah. Are you on the?
I don't know yet where I'm going to be.
Microphone glass.
That one. It's hard to see without my
glass.
I've not secured my tickets yet.
I see.
I will be securing
microphone glass
closer to puck drop.
Okay. You'll be real close to that puck drop on the? On the?
Microphone glass.
Yeah, almost.
That's not what you were
not looking. As much.
Anyway, this hoodie is my go-to. So I'm really happy about it. I'm happy the Caps won. I'm happy Jake Virana scored in his first
how
game.
How cool was that, dude?
Sports. Ovi looked great. Mm-hmm. Two apples last night. Bunch of the new guys played well. Handsome Tom's got two goals in two games.
That's a shame. You hate to see it.
On pace for 82.
Was it? Who was the assist Ovi had where?
Protus.
And Protus, you know exactly what I'm talking about already. Where everyone recognized, I know I scored, but you made the play, dude.
Exactly. No. Protus scores, and before the lamp is lit.
Before we're going, he's already pointing.
Ovi like, holy S.
You, dude.
That was sick.
That's you, man.
Yeah, it was a great play.
I love that.
Ovi had the boots moving last night. So I'll see you out at Capital One Arena tomorrow, neighbors. We'll see you there. It'll be chilly.
It's colder than we thought, huh?
Bundle up, friends.
What, at 90 yesterday?
Feel free to, when you see me, say, we skipped fall, huh, pal?
Didn't we?
All right, so here's a little thing I was thinking about.
Uh-huh.
I think there is a Mount Rushmore of people to give credit to for the Commanders' 4-2 start. You tracking?
With you.
So they're having this amazing year. I think four people separate themselves, and I'm going to say non-ownership division. Because you could start at the top where everything really begins. But I think non-ownership, I'm going with Adam Peters. You get a Mount Rushmore spot.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
It's a good-looking statue right there.
Dan Quinn. Hat backwards right on your spot in the Mount Rushmore. You're building a culture.
It's happening.
Guys are buying in.
Mm-hmm.
Things are happening, right? Cliff Kingsbury.
Little Cliffy.
Just drawing it up. Flea flicker throws on screens to running backs. We're faking bubbles into tunnels coming the other direction. We're going 4-by-1, alignments I've never seen before. Just the sexiest offense in the history of the world. It's Sex Panther if Sex Panther worked every single time.
And it was not gasoline.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Cliff Kingsbury gets a spot, though. And then, obviously, the last one goes without saying.
Who do you think it is?
Gotta be Sheldon Day. Mm-hmm. No, Jaden Daniels, right, is the fourth of the Mount Rushmore. So we're going Peters, Quinn, Daniels, Kingsbury. But I got to thinking. If it's a party of four, that's the four.
Mm-hmm.
What if it was a party of five? What if I had to invite a fifth person and thank them for what they've been doing? I think it's a drop-off before the next group. I think that goes without saying, which is why it's difficult. But I'm not sure that a fifth person has separated themselves. So I want to tag in my partner, Danny Huhe, and I want to open up the phones on this at 1-800-636-1067, 800-636-1067. If you agree with me, and you should, that Peters, Quinn, Kingsbury, and Daniels are the four most important people to what's happening this year for Washington, who's fifth on that list?
This is actually way harder than I thought.
I agree.
And as we're positing the question before the show, as we plan this thing out, because all of this is planned and rehearsed, even Grant's side commentary about his Capital sweatshirt.
Yes.
We planned that out.
I actually missed last the word night on the script.
Yeah. No. Don't beat yourself up for it. There was whiteout on it.
People actually do think that sometimes.
I know.
Where they'll ask me, like, so how does the prep work and how does the show go? And they're like, now, who writes the script? Are you reading from a script? I'm like, here's our rundown before the show. It's got like 14 words on it.
Yeah.
It says like 2:00.
Jaden Daniels.
The word survivor. And that means it's Commander's Survivor Tuesday. Yeah.
We have some keywords, some things we come back to. So this is actually harder than I thought. So there's not much happening on defense where I'm going to go, this is why they're successful, because it ain't the defense. It's mostly offensive personnel. So I eliminated, 26, 27 guys right there. Here's who I came up with. I have a couple nominees, but I don't feel strong enough to be able to rubber stamp your triple stamp, Lloyd. Here's my first nominee, Tyler Biadasz. To me, he has played as good as any of their additions, and it's unsung because he's the center. The fact that people aren't just walking right up, knocking him on his ass, and blitzing Jaden Daniels and smacking him in the mouth from, you know, some of the A-gap stuff that you see them do, teams do to players, to young quarterbacks all the time. There's a lot of cohesion. There's a lot of, A, excellent blocking. B, he's athletic. He's got everybody on the right page. I think he's played really, really well, settled down a position that has had constant turnover.
I think Biadasz is a great answer for who has been the best new addition, non-Daniels. And maybe that also works for this. I feel like if that's the case, then the gap between those four and five is just more astronomical than I thought, if that makes sense. Because
this is where I'm going.
The Peters role in this whole thing, just hitting bolt after bolt after bomb after homer after tank, going bridge after bridge, all offseason. Dan Quinn and what he's done in the building, and Daniels and the overall import of the quarterback position, and Kingsbury, who's designed this sensational offense. If the next one is the center, who's done a nice job blocking, then the gap is really, really big. But I think we're probably there. I mean, if we're talking about another player, whether that be Luvu or McLaurin or B-Rob or Biadasz, then he's as good an option as anybody.
Here's my second nominee. If you don't like it, you throw it right back. Anthony Lynn, running backs coach, running game coordinator. Cliff Kingsbury, never really known for that running game. Well, yeah, sure, Kyler Murray does some keepers, right? You spread everybody out from the shotgun. You get a few things on a draw here and there. Their power run stuff with Brian Robinson, their run game, non-Baltimore division, is pretty damned awesome. You're going for a couple hundred yards a game, pretty much. That's not what Kingsbury's known for. So you bring in someone that is known for that. And Anthony Lynn coaches running backs and brings running games to the table. Now, if he's in charge, that's a problem because that's what you're going to do. But if he's part of an ensemble, that group gets accentuated and you've got an effective run game, my friend.
I love that because I haven't thought about that for a split second. I don't know what his overall importance is, just like I wouldn't know whether it's DaVita Pritchard or Brian Johnson or David Blau or any of the guys that are helping coach up Jaden Daniels, like what their import is. But you might be able to bump into Daniels at a bar in One Loudon or whatever and be like, who's been most instrumental in your development? And I'm just making this up, but he's like,
right.
David Blau, dude. Like, that guy spends hours and hours with me and quizzes me and gives me all the answers, and we go over film for 9 hours a day. And I'm like, wow, David Blau might be one of the most important people in the building. You see what I'm saying?
Yeah, or he's like, DaVita Pritchard brings me the coffee when I get there at 4 a.m. or something. Right. You know, I have no idea.
800-636-1067. So we're going to say that the four people that are most responsible for the Commanders being really good again, making the Commanders great again, if you will, are Cliff Kingsbury, Jaden Daniels, Dan Quinn, Adam Peters. Who would you put as number five on that list? G&D on the fan. G&D on the fan with you until 6:30. The Mount Rushmore of how we got here for the Commanders at 4-2 on their way to hopefully 5-2 with the game against Carolina on Sunday. Pretty obviously, Peters, Quinn, Kingsbury, Daniels. That's the big four. Who would you say is the fifth most responsible person for this 2024 renaissance? And you can't say an owner. So, Danny, you pick one person who's number five on the list. Who are you going with?
I had threw a couple of nominees out there through Tyler Biadasz, but I think my best answer, because this is hard. There is a drop-off. That's your big four, your four horsemen, so to speak. I picked Anthony Lynn, run game coordinator. This run game is dominant and awesome, and it's what everything kind of is based on with an offense that's among the best in the sport. And that's not what Cliff Kingsbury is known for. He's known for 5,000 wide receivers and passes that go a half a yard in terms of air yards past the line of scrimmage. And you're seeing some of that stuff. You're seeing some sophistication. But to me, it's predicated off this excellent run game. And I think that's what Anthony Lynn was put on this earth to do, is make run games good.
I agree with that totally. I'm getting some tweets at Grant H. Paulson, and Danny's at Funny Danny if you want to hit him up. And people are saying the O-line in general. That's a cop-out because obviously there's five of those guys. You can't really do that. Although back in the day when they would have like the player of the game on Sunday Night Football, they would just put a picture of like four people, you know, and
yeah,
these were the player of the game.
These guys.
But there's something to that. You could maybe say if you really want to go that route. I believe his name's Bobby Johnson, the O-line coach that was, by the way, crushed when they hired him.
Yeah, the only maligned hire, I would say.
I'm going to go with Terry McLaurin. That would be my fifth guy. I don't think it's a great answer. I don't think it's the right answer. I thought McLaurin in that Bengals game, though, was fantastic. I don't know that they win the game without him putting the game on the ice with the amazing catch. He got free for the 55-yarder.
Yep.
He has been essentially their entire deep passing offense. They had the one nice gain to De'Ami Brown on the 40-yard touchdown. But I actually tweeted this the other day. You could go check out the list here. But Terry McLaurin is number one in the NFL in basically the percentage of yards downfield. They call it the share of teams' air yards. 51.7% of Washington's air yards, ball in the air, throwing the football, have gone to McLaurin.
Wow.
Nobody else in the league is that high. Rashid Shaheed of the Saints is second.
I was going to say, not even him?
No. George Pickens, third. Amari Cooper, fourth. Calvin Ridley, fifth. When they throw, when they push it, it's Terry. So I would say he's done a lot of things for their offense, for Daniels, for the running game. I'll put him fifth. Let's go to Joey in Germantown. Who's number five on the list that gets credit here?
Man, I got to give it to Frankie Louvu. And I don't think I know more or less than the next guy, but I'm a huge locker room guy, and I'm seeing what they're posting on Instagram. And he's in there where my dog's at. I just love hearing it. And the way he fires with the defense, I feel like it's something we haven't had in a while. We have a bunch of composed guys, and Frankie Louvu's more like a freak and a dog, and I think he's really what we needed on that side.
I love Louvu, and I think that answer probably works if you're going with some of the behind-the-scenes, you know, off-the-field leadership stuff and what he's brought in that regard.
I mean, he's their most productive defender.
He's fantastic.
That's the answer, right?
But he's also been quiet in a couple of games, which is different than not saying he hasn't played well. I think they're like he took over the game against Cleveland, he was everywhere.
Yep.
Just dominating.
Feeding frenzy.
He's a good answer. I mean, he, to me, is right there with Biotis in terms of their best offseason additions in free agency. What do you make of that answer?
That, to me, is he's the defensive version of Biotis. I mean, they're different players, obviously, because you mentioned it. One flies around like a maniac and is, you know, arrives violently, to borrow from Joe Witt, and the other's a stabilizing force on an offense that's excellent. I mean, to me, it's the only reason I disqualified it is simply because the defense is so bad. And that's not his fault. I don't think anyone would go, you know why the defense stinks? It's that Frankie Louvu character. Wrong. That's not the case. But just because that unit's not really performing terribly well, it gets lost in the sauce for me.
Andrew's in Fairfax on Grant and Danny. What's up, Andrew? How are you?
Hey, guys. Doing well. How are you today?
Good, buddy.
So, one that not a lot of folks are going to like, but Ron Rivera did one thing for this organization that nobody had been able to do, and that was take Dan Snyder's hands off of personnel. When he came here, he said, I will come to your terrible franchise if I can run personnel. Now, we now know he was terrible with personnel, but he got Snyder out of the decisions, and that all led to us getting James Daniels. So, I'm thankful for Ron for that. Thanks, guys.
I appreciate you, dude. Yeah, thankful they couldn't beat the Jets, even though they tried. Thankful they ended up with that number two pick, courtesy of Double R and the Marty Party.
Invaluable contributor.
Yeah.
Everyone joked when he said, you're going to have to send me my Super Bowl ring. You might actually have to. It's not because of what he said.
Mm-hmm.
He said, send me my Super Bowl ring because you're going to use 40 of my players. They aren't going to end up using, like, let's say they win the Super Bowl next year. I'm just getting out of my...
Okay, this is fun.
They're just
go ahead.
This. Yeah. They'll still, even as soon as next year, have like 11 of his players. I mean, it's pretty comical. But they were so bad that they picked second.
We bottomed out so well because of me. Okay, we really did.
Let's go to Hurt and Waldorf. What's going on?
Hey, what's going on, Grant, Danny?
Hey, dude.
I got one name for you. Harris. He's the fifth man. He brought this team together. He's put all the pieces in place that we're, you know, foaming at the mouth about and raving about to get content on the field on Sundays. So, I mean, we got to give that fifth man nod to him. Without him, we don't have this conversation.
Yeah, totally, dude. And we at the start, you probably missed it, but we said, besides Josh Harris, because you're right, without a willing owner or ownership group to go, I will hire the guy who then makes all these decisions, none of this is possible. There's only a place I can remember where that happened. Oh, yeah, 30-plus years here in town where Dan Snyder, you know, refused to have an Adam Peters at any point in time. But yeah, of course, Harris and his ownership group are behind this. I mean, the practical application is we don't care if it's sexy. We don't care if fans can see it or not. We're going to do the thing that it takes to win the football game. See the improved practice facilities, staying in Arizona, etc.
Also receiving votes, maybe, Bobby Wagner. I think that mm-hmm. is a guy as a culture changer you could mention here on G&D. Let's do this next. We're here until 6:30. Final segment of the show. We got some NFL news to tend to. We'll get you the roster moves that they made out in Washington. We have not, because it's football season, had a chance to do a Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag in a little while.
Oh, yes.
What if we wound down the show today, not a Friday, but a Wednesday, with Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag? You guys know how this goes. This is our little Ask Us Anything. It could be sports related. It could be non-sports related. Life stuff. This could be about the Commanders. It could be about any of the other teams that you wish we'd talk more about that we don't. It's up to you. It is our Ask Us Anything. It's the Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag. You could submit questions now at Grant H. Paulson, at Funny Danny on Twitter. You could do so in the YouTube chat as well if you're watching us on the 106.7 The Fan YouTube page. And we want your calls for the mailbag next. 800-636-1067, the Grant and Danny's Tony's Mailbag.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I'm Jed Lipinski. In Gone South Season 4, we'll be bringing you new stories every week with no end in sight. Listen to and follow Gone South, an Odyssey original podcast, on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.